Oil in Canada. It basically has one customer, that's in the United States, apart from those that use it in Canada. But that could change as the Canadian government backs a pipeline to move that oil to the Pacific, which could then mean exports to Asia. Here to tell us more about energy and its global implications is Paul Michael Wiebe. He is a research fellow at the Daniel Morgan Graduate School of National Security. Also, he's a former vice president of the Liberal Party of Canada. That was under the prime ministership of Pierre Elliott Trudeau. Paul Michael Wiebe, thank you very much for being with us. Maybe just outline for people that are not familiar with the dynamics of the Canadian energy markets, the role that the United States currently plays, and what could change.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me on the broadcast. The Canadian energy market is really a fascinating sector to watch. It has had some real problems over the last few years. Everyone is familiar with Keystone, the Keystone Pipeline, which is still tied up, by the way, in the Nebraska state courts. We here in Canada, and right now I'm in Montreal, and in Canada there is an abundance of crude oil thanks to the development at the oil sands, but there is a serious bottleneck in that massive supply of crude which is being produced cannot get to the markets for which it was destined. So we have three pipelines: Trans Mountain, which is supposed to deliver oil to the Asian and U.S. markets, particularly California; Trans Mountain, Keystone, and Line 3R, Enbridge, in Minnesota. All these pipelines, each of which has a capacity of around 700 to 800,000 barrels of crude, are tied up for one reason or another, and they've been delayed for years because of court challenges and opposition of one sort or another. So the Canadian energy market is going through some troubling times. And as a result, the United States is picking up the slack in terms of getting crude oil exports to hungry markets overseas, particularly the Asian markets, thanks to the development of shale crude exports that the United States is now shipping to various consumers. So in Canada, there's a real dilemma. Lots of oil, but they can't get the oil to market.
All right. So given that context, what do you believe the tariff and trade war between the United States and Canada will do to the energy sector?
Nothing in the short term that would affect Canadian production, and nothing in the longer term, really, unless we have a total breakdown in bilateral energy trade between the two countries. The indirect impact of tariffs is in the area of steel and aluminum, whereby the Canadian energy industry is buying tubular products at a different cost structure than normally would be the case, because Asian steel products are flooding the Canadian market since they can no longer enter the U.S. market at levels that they had been used to in terms of lower tariffs. So there's an abundance of supply in the Canadian steel and aluminum sector, which is actually providing a cost differential to the Canadian energy sector that is advantageous. But apart from that, there is no real adverse consequence in terms of tariffs impacting energy trade between the two countries. Having said that, you raise a very important question. That is really the larger issue of harmonization between the two countries in terms of oil and gas supplies. And I'm very interested in having seen Senator Hovind from North Dakota, bring forward a bill, the North American Energy Security Act, that would harmonize pipeline approval regulation between Canada and the U.S. And specifically in that bill, the senator is calling for the State Department to pass on its regulatory approval and permitting process, pass it over to FERC, and put a 90-day limit on the approval process for cross-border pipelines. And I think that's very important. And I think that's in the direction we ought to be going. I think it would be very helpful for the Canadians as well as for American consumers to be able to secure Canadian crude in a more rational and streamlined process than what we have already.
All right. We'll talk about that in terms of its opposite. When you talk about a rational and streamlined process, I want to shift your attention, because you are an expert in global energy resources, to what is happening in Iran and the back and forth between the United States and President Donald Trump and Iran's potential for oil exports. What are your thoughts there?
Well, look, I think to give this context, if you don't mind, just to step back a moment to yesterday's extraordinary pronouncement by the president, where he said on his Twitter feed that the OPEC monopoly must remember that gas prices are up and that they are doing little to help. He goes on and demands a reduction in pricing now. This is historic. It's unprecedented. And what it represents, in my opinion, is a full frontal assault on the integrity and cohesion of OPEC as a price-setting organization. And what that's doing, to get to your question, is driving a wedge, a massive wedge, between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Because the Saudis are complying, according to Bloomberg reports, the Saudis are complying with the president's demands. And this is quite the opposite of what the Iranians want. So when you add to the ideological and security dilemma in the Persian Gulf arising from the rivalry between Iran and Saudi Arabia, and now you have OPEC being rendered asunder by the president, then I think what we're seeing is Iran being further and further isolated, OPEC breaking apart under the hammer blows of...
And we've got to leave it there. Paul Michael Wiebe of Daniel Morgan Graduate School of National Security.